Matthew 14th chapter. We'll start reading at verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you again for the marvelous, marvelous Word of God, your goodness and grace, and we're so thankful for the Lord Jesus, his salvation, for his protection for us, his care for us always. And Lord, as we preach tonight, certainly I need your help, your blessings, Lord, and your power, your wisdom, and I ask you for it, that we might be a blessing tonight as we preach thy Word. We'll thank and praise you for it in the wonderful name of our lovely Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Tonight we're going to take a portion of Scripture here in verse number 24, talking about the wind was contrary. And I want to talk a little bit tonight about the contrary winds. And first of all, what we're going to do is we're going to go to the life of the Apostle Paul. And I think if there's anybody that we could go to in the Bible except the Lord Jesus Christ, we go to the Apostle Paul, we can see all kinds of contrary winds that came against this man of God. When you follow the life of the Apostle Paul, it's an amazing life. It's amazing the things that he went through. Sometimes if you simply read through the Scriptures and read a little here and a little there and not kind of put it all together, you don't get the whole picture of it. But the Apostle Paul was an amazing man of faith, and was able to stand multitudes of things because of his faith in God. And as I say, I suppose probably more than likely, he probably faced as many contrary winds as anybody in the Word of God, except, of course, of our Lord. But we're going to go over to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, please, first of all. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. We're going to look at some things the Apostle Paul faced. And what we kind of want to do is kind of bring this down to our personal lives and think about it from our standpoint. Now, I realize that a lot of these things that Paul faced, you and I have not faced. But at the same time, we can apply them to our life and look at some of the things that we went through, and the winds that's come against us, and the hardships and times that's came against us, and know that we have the same God, wonderful, wonderful God, who loves us and cares for us, who took the Apostle Paul through all of these things, standing fast, finishing his course, keeping the faith, fighting that fight, keeping the faith, just going on for the Lord. And we have the same God. You and I have the same God. We might not have all the problems the Apostle Paul faced, but the problems we do have, the same God can absolutely take care of them. Amen? Now, we got to get a hold of that, remember that, because he loves us, he cares for us, he's a wonderful God, and he'll do for you what he'll do for the Apostle Paul. He's the same God, and he loves you just like he loves the Apostle Paul. So in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, I'm going to start reading at verse number 9. He says, "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death." Apostle Paul was one of the apostles, of course, and the apostles went through terrific hardships and troubles. Supposedly, probably every single one of them died some type of martyr's death. And Paul was talking here, he said, we were set forth, he says, last. He says, appointed to death. In other words, it seems like that's what God had appointed for them, that they was going to die for their faith. And he said on, he says, for we are made spectacles. Now, that word spectacle there means a public show. It's like, and if you go on and look in the Concordia, it says theater. It's like being set up in a theater, where people are just watching them. And they become a public show, the apostles had. And he said also unto the world. And who was the ones watching? Well, the world was watching. If you notice there, it even said angels was watching. And also, of course, brings it down and says, men were watching. That's an amazing thing. The apostles here, the 12 apostles, was like a public show, a theater set up where even the angels of God watched as they lived their life and as they suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ. He also says in verse number 10, he says, we are fools for Christ's sake. Now, he didn't say they were fools because they followed Christ. He said we were fools for Christ's sake. In other words, we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it was that Festus, if you remember, cried out with a loud voice and said, Paul, you're beside yourself. He said, you're mad. You see, that's what the world thinks about God's people, the ones who want to walk with the Lord. You see, they just look at him as somebody that's mad, a fool. Why would a man give up his whole life to walk with God? Why would he give up all the fun and all the other things in life that he could have to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that's what they're saying. You see, they look at us as we're fools. I talked with two men just the other evening. I went to the one home and talked with him, and he had a friend there with him, and they was sitting there, and they was talking. And in fact, I think Brother Greg Burcham was with me, and they was talking about the fact that they just wasn't willing to give up that life. He said, we're just not ready to give over ourselves, you see, to the Lord and give up this which we had. I tried to explain to them they didn't have anything. But they don't understand that. They don't know that, you see. And they're not ready to give up the world, you see. And when they would look at somebody who give up the world, they would consider him like a fool, you see. Why would you give up the world? Give up your life. One life you've got to live, see. Why would you give that up? Well, it'd be like being a fool. And that's what the Apostle Paul here was saying. As an apostle, they looked at him as a fool for Christ's sake, you see. But he says, ye are wise. And you got to understand, he's talking to Corinthians. And I think probably preaching through concerning the tongues, we probably have enough understanding a little bit about the message to the Corinthian church. Now, the Corinthian church was a mess. If you read through book of 1 Corinthians, you'll find out the Corinthian church was a mess. And multitudes of things that they were doing there that was just a messed up affair, you see. And here they was all puffed up. You remember even one place he told them they was all puffed up. They was proud. Well, he says here to them, he said, now you're wise in Christ, see. It's almost like with some sarcasm. See, you're wise in Christ, he said, but we are weak. He said, we're weak, you see. Now you're considered wise. You think yourself wise in Christ, but he said, we're weak. He says, but you're strong. Yeah, you're strong, you see. You're strong. You consider yourself strong, you see. But he says, you are also, and he goes on to say, you are also honorable. He said, you're honorable. You think you're honorable in a position you have. But he said, listen to me. He said, we are despised. The world despises us. Now, there's some Christians who think themselves honorable. They stand themselves up as something great in the world, you see. But the Apostle Paul said, no, we're despised. I'll tell you what, you live like Jesus. You live like Jesus, and you walk with Jesus, and you witness for Jesus, and you won't be honored by the world. Now, the world won't honor you. They're not going to love you like that, you know. And when the world loves us, we ought to kind of take note about that. Wonder why the world loves us. Why in the world does the world love us so much, you see? They won't love you so much if you and I will walk with Jesus as we should, see. They won't love us so much. And then in verse 11, he says, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst. Now, the Apostle Paul is telling us here he's been tested even with hunger and thirst. Now, we look at it sometimes and we say, you mean there was times when the Apostle Paul didn't have enough to eat? Yes, that's what he said. Now, he didn't say he's starving. He said he was hungry. He said there's times when he didn't have drink. He was thirsty. He didn't have the necessities, what we would call the necessities of life on a daily basis. Now, he did not say he starved to death. He did not thirst to death. But there was times he went through when he was hungry. He would have liked to have some food, you see. But as an apostle, as a man here who's considered a fool for Jesus Christ, he said he was tested with being hungry. Now, in other words, simply just saying he went without food. There's one place he says oft times in fasting. And if you read that in its context, and we may read that tonight, he's not just necessarily talking about fasting that he does to glorify the Lord and honor the Lord. He's talking oft times in forced fasting. Without food. He does not have food. And so the Apostle Paul went without food. Now, as I remind you, he did not starve to death. He went without food. There's times when he didn't have his desire. He was hungry, you see. Now, over in the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, just want to read a few verses to you. 13th chapter of Hebrews. Once again, the Apostle Paul writing here, verse number 5, chapter 13, he says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, there's other places in the Scripture. We go to the book of Philippians, and we may go there in a moment. But if you look at the book of Philippians, it talks about being content with such things as you have. Most of we Americans today don't know much about that. We haven't learned to be content with such things as we have. God's been good to us. He's given us a lot. He's provided for us. And we're always, always looking for something else. Seems like we're never satisfied with what God gave us, you know. We're always looking for something else. But Paul said we ought to be just content with what he's given us, you see. Ought to be content with it. That's why we're so in debt. You see, we're in debt because we're not content. See, we wouldn't be in debt if we was content. See what I'm saying? We're not content, so we go out and we get something else, buy something else. See, we got to get this and got to get that, and so that we can be content, you see. Well, be content, folks. Be content. And listen to me, young people, I know I harp on this, and I know we're living in a time when it's all around you. You're offered the credit cards, you're offered the credit period, all of that. But please don't get hooked into that. For your sakes. I'm saying that for your sakes. I'm saying that because I love you. I'm not saying that because I'm trying to be mean. I'm saying don't get hooked into that. Amen? Just don't get hooked into that. No. That'll just cause you all kinds of problems, and you'll have a time getting out of that thing. Don't get all in debt like that, you see. And Paul said just be content. And if we'll be content with what we have, more than likely we won't get all cumbersome down with a lot of debt, see. We just need to get content. All right, he says it. And of course, he says he has said, the greatest thing that you and I have here is that Jesus has said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. You see, we have the greatest thing in the world. We have Jesus. Amen. So he's saying to you, now just be content. You have God. You have him. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, see. So you have that which is your greatest need. And he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And then, of course, I just want to kind of skip to verse number 8, because this is kind of the whole thought of how can you be content? Why should we be content? Why is it we ought to be content because that he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us? Well, the reason is in verse 8, because Jesus said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You don't have to worry about anything, folks. He's same God. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll provide for you. He'll take care of you. He is the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he'll be the same tomorrow when you get up in the morning. Amen. He'll be the same in eternity. All throughout all eternity, Jesus Christ will be the same. So the Apostle Paul is saying here, talking about his hunger, talking about going through some of the testings that he went through. Hunger was one of those. Thirsting was another one of them here together. And he's saying unto us, just learn to be content, whatever you got. If you're a little hungry, he said, be content in it. He said, you're a little thirsty, be content in it. That's what he's telling us. He's trying to get that over to us. And boy, that's a good message for we here in America, isn't it? You're a little hungry, don't worry about it. God's still there. He's still the same yesterday, today, you see, and forever. Now, in the book of Philippians, let's go there for just a moment or two. Book of Philippians, the 4th chapter. We'll just start reading at verse number 10. He says, but I rejoice, that's 4th chapter, Philippians, verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Writing to the Philippians here, he said, I'm glad you started helping me again. Now you got to remember, this is a prison epistle. More than likely he was in Rome prison when he was writing this. And when he said that to them, he said that the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful. In other words, you was anxious about my concern, about my situation. But he said, but ye lacked opportunity. In other words, Rome was a long way from Philippi. And he said, you lacked opportunity. You didn't have a chance to come and bring me things that maybe I needed. But he said, now it's flourished again. And he was rejoicing in that. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. He said, it's not that I'm trying to say to you that I wanted all these things so bad. But he said, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Once again, he talks about being content. It's important. And I'd like to say something to you, folks. The Bible says you have to learn that. Apostle Paul said, I learned to be content. It's not something that comes natural. Now, for the old human being, you see, we old human flesh, we're not content usually, you see. You have to learn contentment. You see, have you ever seen a little baby that just seems to be content, you know? And I've seen babies, they just seem to be so content. And I'll make a comment. I said, boy, they're so content. You know, why is it some babies are more content than others? I probably can't answer that question, but it is true. But also know there's adults. Some adults are just content. Content with what they have, content with their life, just willing to go on, you know, and let God bless them and help them. And whatever it is that God has given them, they're just content with it. Well, they've learned to do that. Amen. You've learned to be content. So Paul said that he is content in whatever state he is. And you know that's not the United States. That's in whatever state he's in, you see. Whatever condition he's in, he's content. Amen. So all right. Then he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, folks, listen to me. Paul said, you see, it sounds good. He said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I am. Now, listen, folks. It isn't saying, and he tells them that on purpose. It isn't saying, but well, you can say, well, Apostle Paul had everything he needed, so no wonder he's content. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Did you hear what he said next? That's why he told us that next. He said, I know both how to be abased. Downtrodden. Says, I know how to abound. I know how that I've had much. He says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. He says, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I've been both places. And I imagine he'd been in between too. So he's been downtrodden, been where he was hungry, didn't have anything to eat, but he said also had where I had plenty. You see, and he said, though I've learned to be content in whichever state I was in. If I was hungry, I was content. See, if I was abounding, I had a plenty, I was content. That's why he said the next verse. You see, he says that he could do all things through Christ which strengthened him. How could he do that? Say, Brother Rose, how could he be content when he's hungry? How could he be content when he had plenty? How could he do that? Because he can do all things through Christ which strengthened him. See, that's a secret, you see. He is doing it through Christ. Apostle Paul or you or I or anybody else cannot do it unless we do it through Christ. That's a marvelous verse of Scripture, you see. We do it through Christ. We learn contentment. Why? Because Jesus is with us. He's forever the same, yesterday, today, forever. He always will be. You can learn to be content in Jesus Christ, you see, because He can do it for us. Amen? He can help you when you're hungry. Amen? He can help you be content when you're hungry. He can help you be content when you don't have much, you see. Some folk go their whole lives, and I don't think it's always their fault. Sometimes, you know, folk just throw their lives away, but sometimes folk go a whole life with not hardly very much in their whole life. They don't have much in their whole life. But you know what? I've seen sometimes them folk are the more content than other folk that's got a lot, you see. Paul said you just got to learn to be content. You see, why? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, going back to 1 Corinthians, if you'll notice, he said here, not only was he hungry and thirsty, but he even said, and are naked. What he's basically saying there is, he's saying that I was scantily clothed. In other words, there was times, and we'll read in a little while here if we have time, there was times when he didn't have enough clothing. He just had kind of the undergarments that, I mean, he probably didn't have a coat or anything to keep him warm, you see. He didn't have enough clothing. And we'll talk about over there in a little while, talked about I was in the cold. He said, I was in the cold, you see, often. And here again, he just simply said, there's times I didn't have enough clothing. Now, folks, most of us can go to our closets and get pretty well just about whatever we want. For summer, for winter, about anything. Most of us will not go cold in the wintertime. You know, we've got some clothing, and we've got coats and things like that. Paul said that there was times when he just was naked. In other words, he didn't have enough clothing like he would have liked to have to keep him warm. He also says also that sometimes he's buffeted. That word buffeted just simply speaks of receiving a blow with a hand. There was times when the Apostle Paul was just smoked with the hand and beaten. And if you read the life of the Apostle Paul, as we'll look at a few minutes, you'll find Apostle Paul was beaten many times. You see, and he was buffeted. People, I mean, just, can you imagine just walking up and just popping him, you know, and just hitting him on the side of the head or hitting him with something, you know, and just hitting him like that. Buffeted, he said. And Apostle Paul was saying to him, look, I've been there. You remember down in Philippi, the very place where he was writing to here? Remember the time when he was beaten and scourged and him and Silas was thrown into the jail there? You see, he was beaten, you see. Apostle Paul said, I've been buffeted, you see. Now, you remember, he's saying all of those things. And he's saying those things and saying, but I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content. Do you think it was fun for him to be buffeted? Oh, no, no, no. That was not fun. But I'm just simply saying to you folks, we got to learn to be content. God will help us. He's the same, you see, and he will help us. So he's buffeted. The Apostle Paul is talking about him being buffeted. And he said he had no certain dwelling place. And you'll notice that Apostle Paul was not saying I was a street man. He said I just did not have a home where I could go to. There was times when all different kinds of people helped the Apostle Paul. I'm sure the Christians opened their home to him and let him come in and sleep. But there's a lot of times that he slept out on the trail wherever he was going. He slept. But he didn't have any home, he said. I didn't have no certain dwelling place, he said. I didn't have any place. You know, that's kind of like our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he didn't have any dwelling place either. He said the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Amen. He didn't have any place. Apostle Paul was saying, I didn't have any certain dwelling place either. I didn't have any place where I could call home. No, I could go and lay down in a bed. I don't know about you, but I like that. I like going home at night. I like getting in the shower, hot shower, and getting a shower, and I like going into bed and laying down in that comfortable bed. I like that. And I can go there every night. Isn't that wonderful? We've got a place. Apostle Paul said, I didn't have any certain dwelling place. No, Apostle Paul, you see, the winds of contrary winds blew upon his life. And multiple things came to the Apostle Paul, you see, and he suffered many, many, many things, you see. And so he said also then in verse number 12, he said, and labor, working with their own hands, being reviled, and that means being reproached. He says, we bless. He said, instead of getting mad when somebody reproached me, reviled me, he said, we just bless back. God bless you. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's hard to do, amen? That's hard to do. And he said, being persecuted, what'd he do? He said, well, we just suffered it. So when I got persecuted, I just suffered it. That's just part of it. That's part of living for Jesus. Amen? See what happened to him? You see what the Apostle Paul went through? You talk about contrary winds, folks. He had the contrary winds that blew in his life, something terrifically, you see. And so he said, when he was persecuted, he just suffered it. And he goes on in verse number 13, and he says, being defamed. Talking defamed there means to slander. It means to harm or hurt or destroy. And it means to harm and hurt and destroy his name, his character, and his reputation. I was defamed, he said. They hurt my character. See, they hurt my reputation, you see. They stood against me. They talked against me, you see, and people thought bad against me because of what they said. He said, I was defamed. But that didn't stop him. Apostle Paul just went on. I'm amazed at this man. I'm serious. I'm amazed at him. The more I study his life, I'm amazed at the Apostle Paul and how he stood for God. What faith that man had. Faith in God, you see. And so he said, I was defamed, you see. They hurt me. They hurt my name. No man likes to have his name hurt. Amen? No man likes that. See, someone talk about you and run your name down. You knew it was untrue and run your name down. You wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like it either. You see, Apostle Paul had to take that. I didn't say he liked it, but I said he took it. That happened to him. Amen? And then he says, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world. Apostle Paul said here that I was humiliated. I was made like the filth of the world. The word filth there speaks of refuge of the world. I was considered the refuge of the world. The filth of this world. We apostles was considered that. We were not looked up to. We were looked down upon. And we was considered filth. And he goes on to say, he says, and are the offscourgings of all things unto this day. You know, I've done some painting in my time, done a lot of scraping. I never did like that scraping, but I always had to do a lot of scraping. You ever notice that scraping? There's been times on houses I've painted that I've had to go around and sweep up the scrapings. They look so bad. And the house was in such bad shape, and they just had it all over the ground, and you didn't want to leave it there on the ground, and I'd sweep up them scraping so it'd make it look. You know, that's basically the word he's talking about here, the offscourging. It's like the scrapings of the world, the scrapings, the refuge of the world. He said, that's what I'm considered like. He said, as an apostle, that's what I am, you see. And so he says, of all things unto this day. So the Apostle Paul was humiliated. I mean looked down upon, terrifically looked down upon. Now, why don't you go over with me to the book of Acts, the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. I want to just read one verse here. 22nd chapter, the 22nd verse. It says, "And they gave him audience unto this word, and they lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." Folks, I wish you and I would just for a moment put ourselves in the place of the Apostle Paul, standing preaching the Word of God, teaching what he knew was absolutely correct, knew that it was of God that he came, preached the wonderful book, the wonderful Word of God, told him about Jesus Christ, and the people stood and said, "He's not even fit to live." How would you feel about that? Someone say to you, a group of people, what if all these people in this room got up and said, "That man's not even fit to live for what he believes"? Oh, we'd feel bad about that. That would hurt us terrifically. The Apostle Paul had that said about him many times. See, not even fit to live. He's the filth of the earth. You see, he's off-scourging of all things. And I'm simply trying to tell you tonight is that the contrary winds came against the Apostle Paul probably like no other man upon the face of the earth. I'm talking about man. There may have been others that suffered that we may not know about. I know there's been multitudes who suffered. But the Apostle Paul went through some terrific things. Contrary winds that was against him, constantly against him. Now, go with me over to 2 Corinthians 6th chapter, please. Verse number 4. "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience." Listen to these as I read it. "In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." Apostle Paul gives us quite a list there, and I was thinking about the word up there, distresses. I got a call from a pastor friend of mine the other day, and he just wanted to talk. He said he had some problems, and he wanted to talk to me about it. And we talked. We've done this many, many times. And he said to me, he said, "Brother Ross," he said, I can't even sleep nights." He said, "I go home, and I think about these troubles all night long." He said, "I toss." He said, "I go to sleep." And he said, "I wake up." Distresses. I don't know how you feel, but I want to tell you, I've been there. Been times I just can't sleep. Get up in the middle of the night, just can't sleep. Think about things, pray about things, talk to God about things, just distressed, you see. And this poor pastor, he was just going through a terrible time, told me his troubles, and we tried to help him with some things. Just distressed. He said, "Pastor," he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." He said, I'm just having an awful time. He said, "I want to get some rest." And he said, "I can't get any rest." I'm just simply saying Apostle Paul went through those things. Contrary winds come that way. You see, and that's not easy. See, if you've ever been there, there have been times in your life when certain things has mounted up on you. It just seemed like it got heavy, you know. And sometimes you couldn't sleep of a night, and you just fretted in distress, and, you know, and you prayed, and you talked to God, and sometimes it didn't seem to help, you see. But remember something, God's always there. He's always there, whether you think he is or not. He's always there. See, so distresses. Apostle Paul talked about all these things he went through. Look over in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. Let me start at verse number 23. Now listen to this as I read it. You've heard him before, but listen as I read him. Verse number 23, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths oft." In other words, he faced death many, many times. He says, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." 39 stripes, 5 different times. from the Jews. Okay? And he said, thrice was I beaten with rods. He said, three times I was beaten with rods. He said, once was I stoned. And we read about that in the Bible, where he was stoned, left for dead. He said, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. I can't imagine being in one shipwreck. Paul said, I was in three of them. Spent a night and a day in the deep. And he says, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, the non-believers, he says, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. False brethren tried to kill him. See, if you read that in the scripture, book of Acts, you'll find that. See, they tried to kill him. They was going to take his life. His little nephew saved his life. See. And he says, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And there's where I think he's talking about in fastings. I think it was forced fastings. He did not have enough food. And he says, in cold. Did you hear that? In cold and nakedness, you see. He didn't have enough clothing, you see. The Apostle Paul started multitudes of churches, and he was concerned about those churches. You read in the scriptures where he just went back, and he went back to these churches, and he confirmed the churches, went back and helped them in their faith, and helped them to be steadfast in the faith. He worried about them, fretted about them. It was his responsibility, and he had that care of the churches, you see, upon him, along with all this other stuff. Amen? Now, I read to you from the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter, talking about the contrary winds. I want to go back there just a moment. Now, I want to give just some observations, and we'll be done. Contrary winds, folks, are going to be in everybody's life. The winds are contrary. They're not always going to blow our way. They're going to blow against us, okay? But I want to show you some truth. The presence of contrary winds is no proof that we're outside the will of God. The Apostle Paul was not outside the will of God. And if you can imagine the contrary winds that he had upon his life, if you'll notice there in verse 22, chapter 14, and straightway, that's in Matthew, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Who sent them over there? Jesus sent them over there. Was they outside the will of God? Oh, no, 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 no. They were not outside the will of God. What I'm simply saying to you folks is, sometimes people want to say, look at that person there. Look at all that's coming against them. Look at this. Look at that. See, they're just not doing right. No, that's not always true. No, no, no. It just may be that God's allowing you to be in the midst of some contrary winds. You may be right in the center of the will of God. In fact, you'll get some contrary winds if you're in the center of God's will. Amen? Now, he signed also here that we sometimes don't make the kind of progress that we'd like to make. I'm not going to turn over to the book of Mark, but it telling the same story that's told here in Matthew, it says that they were toiling in rowing. It doesn't say that here in chapter 14, but he said they was toiling and rolling. In other words, they was roaring, and it says after that the winds were contrary. The winds was facing them, and they was toiling and rolling, trying to make progress, and they wasn't making progress. In the midst of the sea, you see. So I want to say also, sometimes the lack of progress is no proof that we're outside the will of God. Sometimes God just wants you to toil in rowing. Don't understand it all, but I know he does. And sometimes there's lack of what we would call progress. We'd like to see great progress, but sometimes it's necessary to just toil. Just keep toiling and rowing. Just keep doing it, you see. And that does not mean we're outside the will of God, you see. Also, they experienced fear and discomfort. They got scared, but they still was in the will of God. And you know what? Even though they was fearful and scared, there was not really any danger, because Jesus was there. But they got scared too. Don't you get scared sometimes in life? I don't know whether you have it or not, but I do. At times I've been fearful of life and what was coming and what's going on and what's happening. And you know, and they was too. The contrary winds sometimes will do that. Peter stepped outside a boat and looked at the waves, and they was boisterous, and he began to look around and he began to sink. I think every one of us could testify sometime in our life we've been there when we tried to walk on the water and began to sink. I'm simply saying to you folks, though, sometimes we fear and sometimes we're in great discomfort, but I want to tell you we are in no danger because Jesus is there. And thank God for that, because you see, he was the one that sent them out there. He knew they was there. He knows where you are too. See, not only that, after he sent them away, do you remember where he went? Up on a mountain to pray. Folks, you got to remember something. We have a great intercessor. You see, the Bible says that in verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. And certainly, if you could take this and look at it, and I believe it is one of the pictures that this story tells, is a picture of Jesus Christ going on to heaven and coming back in the troubled times when the church is in the midst of the sea, in the midst of this old world. We're toiling and toiling, and we're just looking one of these days. Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to miraculously take us out of here, and we'll be over to the other shore. It's a marvelous picture, and I believe that's going to happen, and I hope soon. Look forward to him coming, you see, because let me say something to you. The church today is in the midst of the sea, and it is toiling, and sometimes it don't seem to be making the progress we'd like to make. But remember something, Jesus is coming, and we'll be over on the other shore. It'll all be over one of these days, you see. And not only that, remember how he intercedes for us. He is interceding for us. He's our great intercessor. Right now, don't you think, no matter what situation you are in or trouble you may be facing, that Jesus does know about it? He has not forgot you and will not forget you and will not leave you nor forsake you. It's a promise of God, and he's interceding for you. What a wonderful truth. Not only that, if you notice in verse number 25, it says, and when in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. I noticed one thing there I'd like to say. He came just at the right time. He was on time. Amen. I mean, things didn't get too bad. They did not sink, did they? The boat didn't sink down. No, no, no. He was right on time. And I want to tell you something. He's going to be right on time. He will not fail. He'll be here, you see. And not only that, notice in verse 25 too, it was a supernatural thing. He came walking on the water. You see, you've got to remember something. Jesus can do all things that need to be done. He's supernatural. I mean, what we would consider to him is just him. It's just greatness. But to us, we look at it as supernatural to us because only he could do it. And he came walking on the water. And I'm saying to you, he can, in the most troubled times, come in a most wonderful supernatural way and calm all troubles. Amen? He can do it. And then in verse number 33, in closing, look what they did. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And you know, when all of this was done and all the troubles and the contrary winds that came against them and they ended up on the other shore, they worshipped him and they said, he truly is the Son of God. And I say to you too, we'll recognize the fact, and sometimes in the midst of troubles and contrary winds, we don't think so much about him being the Son of God and how great he is, but I want to tell you, when it's all over, we look back and say, boy, isn't he wonderful. He was there all the time. Amen. And he came just at the right time. He was not late. He was there, and he took care of all those contrary winds that was against us. Now, I gave the illustration of the Apostle Paul simply to show you that there's probably no one in this room has ever had any contrary winds like the Apostle Paul. And you know what he done? He fought the fight. He finished the course. And he kept the faith. You and I can do the same thing. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for the marvelous, marvelous grace of God. And I thank you again that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God for our wonderful, wonderful Savior. Even when contrary winds come our way, Lord, you've promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And I thank you for that marvelous promise. Help us now tonight to trust thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.